95.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 17th of December, Anno Domini 2011, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff to use, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Here we go.
And you're still that ready.
I'm nowhere near ready.
That's what you get for going to the bathroom.
That's my fault entirely.
Yeah, you got to do that on your own time.
Had I only not gone to the bathroom. Actually, before we do the news,
I guess going to the bathroom probably isn't a thing you can't not do. It's just where you do it.
And when. You have any choice whatsoever.
Oh.
But what I am going to do is, before I get to the news, while I'm finishing setting up, I will tell you that on Thursday I got my new phone.
Oh, you did?
My new Galaxy
Nexus.
Yeah,
and?
I'm completely in love. Absolutely, completely, and totally in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great phone. It's a great Android device.
Now, did you have to wait in a long line for that? Or
I was number one, thank you.
Oh.
I may be, in fact, the first guy in Rochester to get one. I was certainly number one at the store I was at.
Now, did you... I got to ask, was that young lady that sold you the other phone there still?
No, she was. This was a different store.
Okay.
She worked somewhere else, and this was Joe, my friend Joe.
Your new best friend now.
My new best friend Joe, absolutely. He was nice enough. We learned it together. They were still unboxing them. They were still setting up everything, and so we explored it all together. It was really nifty, and I love this phone. The only thing I wish it had was a louder speaker. But other than that, it's big, it's bold, it's bright, it's beautiful, it's got good battery life, it's ridiculously
fast. Do they have an app for that to turn it up? I mean, there's a number of apps out there that you can boost
it's
the sound.
I'll play with a couple of them, but it's mostly just up.
Okay.
It's not really been a problem. It comes with a headset with a microphone, so when I'm on my hour long phone calls, I can put the headset on, so I can still be hands free. And when I'm in the car, I just plug it into the radio. So it hasn't been a big deal one way or the other.
There's a company that makes like one of those giant Scandinavian horns for the iPhone. Makes me want to say Ricola.
Really?
Yeah. It amplifies the audio for you.
That's good to know. But I really like it. I'm very impressed. It's 4G, and I'm getting 10 megabits per second. It's just ridiculously fast. Anyway, speaking of cell phones, a recent nice segue. A federal safety board called Tuesday for a nationwide ban on the use of cell phones and text messaging devices while driving. The recommendation is the most far-reaching yet by National Transportation Safety Board. Which in the past 10 years has increasingly sought to limit the use of portable electronic devices, recommending bans for novice drivers, school bus drivers, and commercial truckers. Tuesday's recommendation, if adopted by states, would outlaw non-emergency phone calls and texting by operators of every vehicle on the road. It would apply to hands-free as well as handheld devices, but devices installed in the vehicle by the manufacturer would be allowed, the NTSB said. The recommendation would not affect passengers' rights to use such devices. So you still have the right to use them. You just get arrested if you do. There's a subtle distinction there. NTSB members say the action is necessary to combat a growing threat posed by distracted drivers. While distracted driving has been a problem since the Model T, in the words of NTSB chair individual Deborah Herzman, authorities say it has become ubiquitous with the explosion in the number of portable small phones. Excuse me. At any given daylight moment, some 13.5 million drivers are on the handheld phones, according to a study released last week by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Some 3,092 roadway fatalities last year involved distracted drivers, although the actual number may be far higher, NHTSA said, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Distracted driving is becoming the new DUI. It's becoming epidemic, said NTSB member Robert Sumwalt. Accident investigators routinely seek protective orders to preserve smartphones for use as evidence in accident investigation, Herzman said. But because distracted driving, sometimes drivers do not own up to their actions, or because they die during the crash, determining whether distraction was a factor in an accident can be difficult. So, we have a poll of the week, of course, at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And it is, do you text while driving? The choices are every single time, sometimes, only in emergencies, never, and because I know our audience, I don't even own a phone that texts or a car. So when you are done with that poll, which I know you will take, actually so far 45 of you have taken it, and most of you have said never. When you're done, I know you'll have more to say about this, so check the little yellow box underneath the poll. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to a terrific website where you can enter your opinion to the question, how do you feel about texting while driving? And, of course, that's our question to you, so give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415.
One of the early reports I read said that they wanted to ban all electronic devices, which would include your car radio, your GPS, because they're all distractions of one sort or another. So that means they should ban passengers because they're distracting too.
Right.
So anything that that's one of the points. The distracted driving is already, you know, illegal, but they have to spell out exactly what distractions are now, because distraction is such a ambiguous word these days.
Right. They had an interesting conversation on the radio about this, and the person, the reporter type said, "Well, what about talking to somebody in the car next to you? How is that not distracting?"
Yep.
They said, "Well, it's not the same thing, because the person in the car with you is in the same situation. They presumably see the same traffic patterns that you see, and therefore they would mitigate the way they speak."
Oh my God! And then,
yeah, exactly.
And then it's too late.
How many times have you ridden with somebody in the car who screams that, and you what? Oh, I dropped a pen, or there's that store I've been looking for, or it's actually, that's worse,
yep,
I think, than talking to somebody on the phone, because it really makes you a little bit crazier than you normally would be. It
scares the hell out of you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, what? Oh, no, I just saw that go by. Oh, Jesus, don't do that.
Yeah, no kidding. So at any rate, there it is, and we would love to hear your opinion about texting while driving. I will tell you that the other day we were driving along and this woman just...
Another world?
...pulled into my lane and I, you know, avoided her. She traveled across three lanes of the expressway and I avoided her. But she was just wandering all over the place and my daughter, who was in the front seat with me, she said, "Yeah, she had a cell phone in one hand and a donut in the other. I have no idea how she was steering." And I said, "Well, I'm pretty sure she wasn't steering."
Yeah. Well, they use their knees. I mean, I've been driving off in the morning and seeing folks go to work, and I've seen men shaving, women putting on makeup, doing their hair and everything else, and they have their knees up holding the wheel straight.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're in the mirror looking. But I told you the story about somebody on a cell phone.
Yeah.
I was on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Going down Culver Road and coming up on East Ave. And this girl on the cell phone wanders right on off. Well, I came up alongside her. Of course, on the Harley, I have air horns.
Yes.
And her window was open. I got right on her and laid on the air horn. You saw a phone go off to the right, a death grip on the steering wheel, looking straight ahead. We came up to the light. She would not make eye contact. Whether she was turning right or not, she did.
Yeah, right.
She did not.
Right, she did not want
to. But I mean, she pulls right over. Hello, I'm on a motorcycle. I'm exposed.
Yeah. You're
you know.
Then she had an accident reaching for the cell phone.
Yeah,
although,
I'm sure she did.
On the other side, I was pulling out of a parking space yesterday, and I swear to God, I look all three ways, I check my mirrors, I pull out, and there's a semi backing up.
semi.
How the heck did I miss a semi?
Exactly.
I swear, I looked.
Yep.
Well, we should tell folks we won't be here next week.
We will not be here next week. We are actually going to spend Christmas Eve with our families.
But this week is
Rumball Week. We're very excited about this. So those of you who are going to listen through the entire show, pay attention to what you hear now, because this is as coherent as we'll be throughout the entire 2 hours.
I'll tell you, I had to keep those covered up because I had them uncovered for a little bit while I was doing up the bags.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Started filling up the kitchen, and it's like, whoa.
The dogs get into them and then go nuts?
I can smell the potency of the baking, shall we say. Through the Dave's holiday cookies. Dave's holiday cookies.
And we are still offering that if the folks really want the recipe for these unusual cookies. And, you know, just send $10 or more out to jazz901.org. Or, you know, you'd want to send a check, to the address. And, you know, I'll gladly email you the recipe. And I'm even throwing in a couple others, the chocolate chewies that we have here.
Which are also delish, yep. By the way.
And the other thing I wound up making up this morning, or yesterday rather, was what they called poor man fudge. My mother used to do it off the Hershey's can, and they call it poor man's fudge.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I still have the recipe for that, and I did a batch of that up yesterday, and turned out good, like always. Doing candy is always hard.
It always is hard.
Type of stuff.
But you know what? I have found that the recipes on cans are, in general, fairly simple and fairly tasty. You know? Almost always.
Well, the reason I did it up is, it kind of happened on sudden. My one sister, who's younger than me, of course, I'm being the oldest of six, was back in the hospital. And I'm kind of hoping that, she's been having a rough go, and we got her back in there, and hoping that she's going to be able to make it home for the holidays. Because,
right.
As you folks know, and if some of you folks haven't known, I come from a large family. I'm one of six. My dad's one of 19.
19.
Yeah. And we just do everything, like with me and the cooking and family get-togethers. It's about family and friends, and this is where I've told a couple of my other friends, come on over, just like Thanksgiving. You want... Oh, I feel funny. You got to understand the dichotomy of our house. Whenever, it's the holidays, the house is open to anybody. My right. grandmother, I could literally, after the show, my grandmother was still alive, take you to, say, come on, let's go over to my grandmother's. You'd pull up there. She'd say hi to me. She'd worry about you two sitting you down. What do you want to drink? What do you want to eat?
Yep.
She's got cookies, pies. Everybody just always stopped in. With 19 kids and cousins and they're out the wazoo, it's always,
that's the way it was in our house. Holidays, there wasn't an empty space anywhere in the entire house.
Yeah.
And I've told this story before. I was doing a show in college and we had a cast party Saturday night. And I said, well, it's Easter Sunday, so I'm going to go to Mass. A dozen people, mostly in their cups, said, oh, we'll come with you. I said, okay, not a problem.
Yeah.
My father was the sexton of the church, the guy who took care of the everything, the pipes and the lawn and whatever. And so at 6 o'clock in the morning, we all pull up in the driveway. Two cars full of kids. It was like it's clown car stuff when you're in college, right? A few drivers and plenty of kids.
And we had giant cars back then, too.
We had giant cars.
We had 15 people in my Dodge Monaco.
Yep, yep. Some of them stacked like cordwood, but they fit. Yeah. That's really what counts.
You put three or four of them laying in the back window.
That's exactly right. So we get out of the car, and it's these kids have been starting to sober up for a while. And, I was in college. It was the 70s, and what the hell. So they look around, and they think there's a dozen people. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. We maybe really shouldn't be here. So they all said, look, we're sorry. This is a stupid idea. I said, no, it's not a problem at all. Trust me on this. My mother opens the back door, looks out, sees a dozen kids, most of whom are total strangers. She finds me in the bunch, and now it's all right. Everybody, come on in. She made breakfast for everybody, bacon, eggs, sausage, whatever people wanted. We had it all. Some of us went to church. Some of us just took a nap in the living room. Whatever's cool. While we were gone, my mother went to the store, and when we came back, we all had sandwiches, cold cuts, whatever, whatever. And as we were leaving, you know, kids were saying, if I had done this, my mother would have killed me and all of you. I said, this is a light Sunday for us. You wait, come back at about 2 o'clock. People will not even know you're there.
Well, growing up in high school, same thing with me.
Yep.
You know, our house back in those days, even though there was a lock on the door, I don't know if we ever, I couldn't tell you where the key was, yeah. But you know, my best friends in that, my buddy, Kurt Johnson, who was my best friend, you know, and best man in my wedding. He'd show up there because he loved when mom would sit there and make bacon and eggs and toast with butter.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd come down, you know, because we'd go do our paper routes, come back, there's Kurt on the couch. And she'd come down, Kurt, come on, you can start making the toast. All right. He'd get up and start making the toast. And then mom would start doing up all the eggs and all that. But, you know, other kids, you know, with the six of us, always had friends over. Mom was never surprised to find this person or that person. Oh, okay. Well, come on down, you know.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Henry, for intruding. It's like, no, never. Never apologize. It's family and friends. And that's exactly what it's all about. You know, if we have it, sit down, enjoy, give you, you know, always make you feel welcome. And, give you a cup of coffee or whatever you want to drink.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We always were essentially an open house.
Yeah, you know? I mean, and you know, that's kind of sad.
You got peasant food because we were not rich.
Oh, yeah,
you
know,
you got spaghetti and meatballs.
Or spaghetti, you know, like you said, a big pot of spaghetti or pasta or that type of stuff. No, that was the great thing about it.
Yeah, and we used to do that all the time. That was great stuff. Those are the days, though. Those days are gone. We mostly, almost nobody does that anymore. That music tells me that it is time for us to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. You need to call us, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. We're Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
All right, we had one question come in. This is from both Tony and Nancy are listening, and they had some questions about AVG and Norton and, you know, our security system that we recommend folks doing. And the best thing I can tell them to do is first, you know, if you don't want to pay for Norton, you can go to the Norton webpage and get the removal tool. And Norton will get rid of everything relative to Norton and then travel on over to our webpage,
SecurityTango.com.
And, well, let you tell them where they...
Well, here's the deal.
To get the free product. They're interested in the free product.
The Security Tango is a site that I put together. We've been talking about this stuff for years, and we eventually got a little tired of constantly saying the same exact thing over again.
Yep.
So we put up a website to do that, and we called it the Security Tango because it's like a dance.
Mm-hmm.
If you miss a step, you're not dancing anymore. You're just stumbling around. So if you look on the upper left, you'll see a button that says Let's Dance. You click that, and it takes you to a page where you get to pick your operating system. I'm assuming you're talking about Windows because you've got the Norton Security Suite.
Yep.
So you click the Windows Waltz, and that takes you to the Windows page. You print that page out, and you follow it step by step. That will get rid of all the viruses and all the problems and all the other stuff, except for a few that cannot be fixed from the computer itself. And then it also suggests a whole bunch of additional things like malware bytes and super anti-spyware and Avast and a bunch of other things which you can pick and choose from for what you want to use. You should always have an anti-spyware program. You should have an anti-regular malware program, and you should have, which does Trojans and things like that. And you should also have something that takes care of viruses, which would be Avast or AVG or one of those. So if you go into that page and print it out and do all that stuff, by the time you're done, you have a fairly decent set of tools and your machine is protected.
What?
But as Dave said, The first thing you need to do, which isn't on the list because not everybody has this, if you want to get rid of Norton, go to the Norton website and get the Norton
removal
tool. And Steve's going to either put that on the list or see that it's already there.
You know, one other thing
before you dance the tango.
One thing that we should make an adjustment there on the tango.
Yeah,
is you know, yeah, we you know put that like that type of stuff doing both either the McAfee or in the Norton removal, and then what I would suggest to folks is getting Revo uninstaller.
Yeah,
for you folks out there, when you install programs and uninstall and all this going back and forth, it makes your registry very big because all it does is Windows is dumb enough. All it does is turn one bit off in the registry, and it leaves all this information. So if you install and uninstall a program, say, 4 or 5 times, that makes the registry that much longer. Well, if you use this product called Revo Uninstaller, put that on there and use that to uninstall programs, it gets rid of all those other things in your registry, along with the files that are on your hard drive, cleans everything up so things are running a little more efficiently. So I would recommend doing Revo Uninstaller after you get that on there. So now it'll have a record of all of the other programs that are on there. And when you go to install something, instead of going to the Add Remove Programs within Windows, which does a crap job, go to the Revo Uninstaller, and that'll do it far more efficient and keep your machine running a lot smoother.
Words to live by.
Yeah.
Words of wisdom. I think I think we've answered Tony and Nancy's question.
Oh, I got to throw in, because somebody else had, going back to, since it is, you know, the Christmas show and that type of stuff, we're just starting to get into the rumballs. I had somebody else.
The holiday cookies.
Yeah. Ask me about, you know, the story that I've told about my brother.
Yeah.
And to share with some of you folks, and I know he's getting ready to head out of town, so I'm safe. He shouldn't. He might be listening, but I doubt it. I'll get him in trouble anyhow. Growing up, like I say, we're a big family. And like I say, not super. They're good. Okay, good.
Great holiday cookie.
Thank you. You know, coming from a big family, you know, and growing up, things were quite chaotic in that. And it was happened to be 1 year. Things got really busy. My mom was running around like crazy and that type of stuff, trying to get us up, because this is when my uncle used to play Sibley Santa. And she didn't get up there. Help her. Thank you. I knew what you were going to say. Right?
See, I was Santa's helper at Sibley's. Yep. I was also Santa's helper at Midtown Plaza, sitting on the Magic Mountain. Yep. And you are one of Santa's helpers.
Yeah. So, anyway, she got busy and couldn't do, you know, get down there to take it because Kevin wanted to go see Santa. All right. It was Christmas Eve. We lived over on Jones Avenue and Jones and Plymouth. Mom says, come on, get Kevin in the car. We had this old Falcon station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Popped him in the car, had Kevin, my little baby brother, on my lap. We went down the street. Is down the street right now on the corner of Lyle and Lake. You know, there's other stores there, but there used to be Blanchard's Florist and the first donut shop that I ever remember. There was a great donut shop there. Well, Blanchard's was right on the corner. Mom pulls up to it, goes alongside, pulls up. She says, roll down the window. Roll down the window. She says, Kevin, tell Santa what you want for Christmas. Because in this window, here's this like 8-foot mechanical Santa,
nice,
turning, you know, like 180 degrees one way, and just pointing his finger. My brother goes, oh, Santa! And he sat there rattling off for about 3 or 4 minutes all the stuff that he wanted for Christmas.
Yep.
Rolled up the window. He was happier than I'll get out. He got to see Santa. And he goes, I didn't have to get out of the car.
That's just funny. You know, thank God your mom's not around to hear that story. She'd be on you like white on rice.
Oh, we used to pick out. Well, we always told the different stories. Like the one time we're at the same house, Jones Avenue. We were bored, me and my sisters. And my brother, again, he was only like 3-4 years old. And the old houses, you know, they had no, the heat runs and all that were totally different. They had like register holes in the floor.
Yep.
So we're upstairs and we see Kevin down below. In the playpen. Mom's off doing a puzzle with the next door neighbor in the living room. We put down a rope. We went down, tied it around Kevin's arms.
Oh, my.
And me, my sister Deb, and Sue started lifting Kevin up. Mom was, you know, in the middle of putting a puzzle, and evidently Kevin's arms flailing around caught her attention because he was just coming up out of the plane. What the hell are you doing? Boom, we quick dropped the register back
dropped
in.
Dropped him.
Oops.
And, of course, you were in a different room. Butter would not have melted in your mouth. Exactly.
Have you seen Tim Allen's new TV show, Last Man Standing?
No.
He's a sales rep at a outdoor man, guns and snowmobiles, and you know, and Hector Elizondo's is his partner, and they're doing the Santa's helper, and they have all the staff dressed up as elves, and Tim's got four daughters, so it's really crazy being, you know, this guy's guy with so many daughters. So he gets the daughters to come in to play elves. And they're complaining about the working conditions. There's no breaks. You know, Santa's helper goes to take a bathroom break, and they have to restock the shelves. And so she unionizes the elves, and they go on strike.
Santa would Santa's helpers would go feed the reindeer.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When that's how that worked. That's right. That's how that worked. Santa's helpers. I'll tell you one thing about
reindeer.
Some days they were much thirstier than others.
Good eggnog.
Yeah. The interesting thing was when the part that Santa's helpers liked the best is when the moms would stand right behind the kids, and when the kid asked for something, mom would nod or shake her head.
Perfect.
And because then Santa's helper could say, well, I think Santa might be able to do something about that. And say, well, Santa doesn't have a lot of those left, so I can't promise that.
Safe.
You know, that's exactly right. So, and then there were the kids that just broke your heart. I want my daddy to come home. Oh man.
Oh, dude.
Now what?
Yeah.
In those days, there was a lot of G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. You know, that was the vast majority of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were and of course, it's all about the pictures, you know, as far as the companies that's putting on the Santa business is concerned. It's all about the pictures. And then the parents were that way. Take his picture. He's screaming. He does not want to be. Take his picture anyway. Okay, fine. And then the worst is when you get them about halfway to your lap and mom says, careful, he's wet.
Oh.
Okay. Over onto the arm of the chair then. How are you?
Well, you had pads, didn't you?
Well, you learn very quickly as one of Santa's helpers. Before you put the red pants on, you wrap your thighs in plastic bags.
Oh, I thought they had like my.
Oh no, no,
have a
no!
Red pad.
No, this nice pad that he put over.
Grandmother made.
That's nice. Yeah. That is nice. No, we didn't have that. But you learn to wrap plastic bags, you know, like Wegmans carry bags, the little plastic grocery bags, around your thighs, so that and then you put the pants on. You may crinkle a little as you the kids sit down and
chafe your legs.
but the reality is, boy howdy, you're good by the end of the day, and that's really all that counts.
There's a bunch of websites with bad pictures with Santa.
Yeah, sketchy Santas.
Sketchy Santas, yeah. Oh, this wasn't actually the bad Santa picture I was looking for. These are bad Santas, if you're into Billy Bob Thornton, I guess.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sketchysantas.com, I think it is one of them. Yeah.
Poor kids screaming.
Well, and that's the worst part. Take his picture. But he's screaming. Make him laugh. What do you mean, make him laugh? I'm this gigantic, scary figure in a beard and a red suit going, ho, 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 in this kid's face, and the kid is screaming. You know, what are you supposed to do about that? I don't know. I don't know. It's very hard.
There we go. A little bit of Yoda in the nativity scene.
Very nice. All right, our next caller is Victor from Arundacoid. Welcome, Victor. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I use Microsoft Security Essentials, and you were talking about all this anti-spyware stuff. Now, is that enough, or should I still use the super anti-spyware and malware bytes that I have?
Well, the Security Essentials for Microsoft covers a lot of stuff and is a pretty good suite. I personally am not a huge fan of it. It's not a bad suite. It's not my favorite suite.
Okay.
I prefer things like we said before, malware bytes and super anti-spyware.
MSIE is nice to keep running in the background because Microsoft keeps it updated, and then use the super anti-spyware and malware bytes as your, you know, say, weekly scanner just to be safe. Because not one program can't catch everything, so we do recommend using different programs.
Yeah, that's not a bad thought. Yeah, run one of them every day, and one of the others once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been doing that so far. I haven't had any problem with this.
Perfect. Oh, it's really just a matter of due diligence and luck, frankly.
And some is behavior. You know, don't go to sketchy websites. And
well, the problem is every website is sketchy now because you get ads and things like that to come from any one of a dozen different ad companies. Google, DoubleClick. Well, DoubleClick is owned by Google and a couple of the others, and so you never really know what it is you're going to get.
Yeah, there was that one on Facebook a few weeks ago that was grabbing all your friends and messaging them.
Yep. And then there's everybody. Everybody is getting messages purporting to come from Amazon or the post office or FedEx or UPS. Mm-hmm. There's a problem with your shipment.
Yeah.
Click here.
Like I say, it's not the viruses anymore that are the biggest threat. It's the spyware and malware that's out there, and that's why I try to tell folks. Like, you know, they'll create a little program, and it's literally a little program that can steal, say, your email addresses. And all this person does is sit back while millions of email address books come to him. He sits there, pulls those out, compiles all these names. So, yeah, you can start getting goofy, you know, emails and all that from your cousin or whatever, or your son or daughter. And you wonder, what the heck? They wouldn't talk about this topic matter. No, they've been hacked or spoofed. What the these people do is turn around. Once they get all these email addresses, they'll go out to the spammers and say, tell you what, got 500,000 email addresses that if you want, I'll sell them to you for $20.
Yep.
So now for this stupid little program, not too stupid, they're making money off it. Yeah. All these programs, they turn around and get all this selling, you know, of email addresses for this little program. It just goes out there and grabs it, and they got programs that come back, sort it out, and then they're going to offer it up to spammers all over the place.
Right.
And
well,
they make money.
And what I'm telling people is, look, you get this message from Amazon. Let's do a little checking first, just a little reality check. Did you, in fact, actually order something from Amazon? If so, is there a tracking number? Don't click on it, but copy and paste it into the UPS or whatever. And do they mention your name and the exact product you ordered? Because if they don't do that...
Thank you very much, guys.
Oh, sorry, Victor. Beg your pardon. All right. Sorry about that. We're going to take a quick... It's the holiday cookies. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. Strap yourselves in because there's a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Sound bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we've got Brian from Pavilion, New York on the line. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hey, how you doing? Actually, not a question, just a comment. I try to catch a show every week, but it's been harder and harder for me since I moved out. You know, Saturday's a work day for me. So.
Right.
But last week, I happened to catch you guys talking about the Annoyatron.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I have just had nothing but fun. I bought two of them immediately. One smashed. Fantastic. Put one in my father's car. I thought he was going to kill me.
Yeah, you aren't kidding.
Oh, man. I just wanted to say thank you. That was the best Christmas gift anyone's ever given me.
Well, you know what? You're welcome. I love mine. The reason you buy two of them, by the way, is because at least one of them will be tossed out a car window or crushed under somebody's foot or something.
By the other person in the car.
Fantastic. I highly recommend it for the season.
Thank you. And really, it's for April Fool. Get a couple more for April Fool and spread the joy.
Thank you, guys. Have a good holiday.
You Thanks, too. Brian, and you're welcome.
Bye.
I like their instructions on the website. Turn on, hide it.
Exactly. It's for those of you who missed last week's show. And by the way, you can get all the old shows. We have a podcast.
Yes, yeah.
You can get the podcast at our website. We have an RSS feed. You can get them from iTunes. They're just, it's pretty much, it's hard to avoid them. They may just show up on your door.
Well, we got, years of
podcasts? Yes.
podcast.
Years and years and years and years.
23. Well, we've been doing this 23 years.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of them, but I got all the ones from here on and everything. But the Annoyatron, I think it's the Annoyatron 2000, I think, is basically just a little device, and you can set for it. It emits an intermittent beep, and you can set it for what the beep is, how long the beep sounds, and how often it sounds. So, you know, you can. It's like when your smoke detector is just starting to lose the battery. You get a beep, and then half an hour later, there's another beep. And by about the sixth beep, you're insane.
Yes.
You're absolutely insane. And so this works the same way, of course, but it's not the smoke detector. It's this thing which has a magnet on it, so you can hide it in all kinds of places. And people just will go fairly insane looking for it.
Looks like you can change the frequency. You can set it to 2 kilohertz or 12 kilohertz or alternating back and forth.
Nice.
2 kilohertz is pretty low.
Pretty low.
Yeah. But still annoying.
What's the brown note? The brown note. That's 1.5 hertz.
That's 1.5 hertz. It's not 2 kilohertz, you're nowhere near that. 2 kilohertz is still audible by most people, not necessarily by those of us my age anymore, but for most people it is. And yeah, so it's a very cool thing, and depending on where you hide it and how you hide it. I have some minions who work for me, and I hid it in the office of one of them, up in the valance, you know, where all the doors have blinds on them, so you can open them or close them, and depending on whether you want privacy or you got students in the office or whatever. So there's a little trough in the valance, in the top of the valance, and I hid it in there. I stuck it up against the side, and he spent hours looking for it. At one point, he actually ran his hand through the valance, but missed it because it was stuck to the side, you know, and so it drove him fairly more insane than he normally is, and I was very pleased with that. So those are the kind of things. Listen, let me do another news article while we're sitting here waiting.
I think everybody must be out there still buying us all our Christmas presents.
That's exactly right. You know, you can drop them right off here at the studio for us. Excessively loud television commercials should be a thing of the past, thanks to the Federal Communications Commission. Responding to years of complaints that the volume on commercials was much louder than that of the programming that the ads accompany, the FCC on Tuesday, thank God, passed the Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act. Or the CALM Act.
See, they're using the Apple method. You pick an acronym and then figure out what the letters stand for.
Yeah, right. to make sure that the sound level is the same for commercials and news and entertainment programming. Most of us experience this ourselves. You're watching your favorite television program or news, and all of a sudden a commercial comes on and it sounds like someone turned up the volume, but nobody did. Today, the FCC is quieting a persistent problem of the television age, loud commercials, FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski said in a statement. FCC Commissioner Michael J. Copps said, "I cannot tell you how many hundreds of citizens have told me personally through emails and letters at public hearings, even across the family dinner table, how obnoxiously intrusive they find loud commercials. The act comes a year after Congress passed legislation regarding commercial volume and directed the FCC to come up with enforcement rules." Here's the thing I don't understand. Dear FCC, we commission you, make sure that the sound of commercials aren't too loud. And it takes them a year to come up with the rule. How hard is that rule to write?
Well, part of the problem is there are already FCC regulations. The peak volume of a commercial cannot be louder than the peak volume of the show.
Right.
So they are the same loudness. The problem is you have a soft and tender moment on TV, and then a monster truck ad comes on. The peak volumes are not louder. But the shows are generally softer in the advertisement.
And by peak volume, they mean people talk, people do things. Then there's a big noise, like a musical sting explosion, or an explosion. Yeah. And then the commercial is that straight through for a minute and a half.
Wait a minute. Am I missing something? I thought in a lot of TVs, though, they had it so where you could set it in there.
Yeah, TVs are starting to come with that technology.
Oh, I thought they've been doing it for a couple of years.
Many of them don't have that. Most of them don't have that.
I knew, because that's where I saw it, you know, that you could set it in there so that, you know, like you say, the commercials, some aren't low, some aren't real high, that, you know, you just about, whoa.
I don't care how low they are. It's high that bothers me.
Yeah, same here.
Right. Anyway, The architect of the bill was Representative Anna G. Eschew, Democrat of California, actually Marin County, who pushed for the legislation after hearing complaints about loud commercials from her family. The FCC said cable and satellite TV companies, as well as local broadcasters, will be required to make sure the volume on commercials is kept in check. The rules go into effect in December of 2012, so you've got a whole year for loud commercials. We're glad that consumers are finally going to get some relief from extra loud TV ads, said Parul P. Deshai, policy counsel for the Consumers Union. People have been complaining about the volume of TV for decades. Viewers are not the only ones who will be glad to hear the volume come down on commercials. Producers have often griped about the discrepancies between the sounds of commercials and their programming. It may be the single best thing government has ever done, said Modern Family co-creator Stephen Levitan. Now, if they could just mute the volume of political ads, I'd be thrilled. Dick O'Brien, an executive vice president of the American Association of Advertising Agencies, said Madison Avenue is in favor of the new rules. Notice they didn't do it voluntarily, but now they're all for it. We like it better when the public feels good about our ads, he said.
Nice.
Jane says, it's nice to be nice. So how do you feel about ad volume? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, a toll-free at 1-800-790-0415.
George Carlin had a routine on this years ago. You're listening to the radio, and a good song comes on, so you turn it up a little bit. Right. And then another good song comes on, so you turn it up a little more. And another good song, and so you turn it up a little more. And then when you get in the car the next morning, it's blasting really, really, really loud.
And you wonder who turned it up that loud.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. My daughter often used to come in to the computer room and say, Dad, how come your TV is so loud? It's commercial, honey. I didn't touch a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I didn't do anything about it.
It just happened.
Because of that, mute the volume whenever the commercials start. I don't need to hear that screaming and yelling.
True.
It's annoying, and so I don't want to hear it. And so I simply don't ever watch commercials now.
My old TV had a soft mute on it, where it would still play a little bit, but was a lot softer.
See, that's not bad. I just have mute. So, in fact, while they're attempting to get me to listen to more commercials, it's had the opposite effect for me. Yep. I mute the commercials. I don't think I've seen a commercial in forever. The tail end of one while I'm thinking, okay, it's been about 2 minutes. Is the show back?
A lot of times I don't mind watching the commercial. I just don't want to see it for the 100th time.
Well, there's that.
There's that.
You know, some of them get clever. There are commercials that I actually enjoy watching because I like the story or I like the acting or it's just cute. But most of them are basically just crap.
Well, that one that I used to love is that little kid. For the trading?
Oh, yeah, the little baby.
Yeah.
That was cute.
The one that I really like is the little Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah, the kid?
For the car. For the
car
commercial.
That was on a...
That was a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, and then they didn't show it for the longest time.
Yeah, and then the kid's out there.
I laugh at that one every single time.
Yes.
That's a great ad.
Yes, it is.
The problem is...
What's it for?
What are they advertising? Exactly.
Is it for the car?
Volkswagen.
I think it's for the car.
Volkswagen.
Is it for Volkswagen?
Yeah.
Many people can't tell you what the ad is for.
Yeah, no, it was for the Volkswagen.
No, but I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah,
many
no, no.
Can't tell you what the ad is about.
They just remember the little kid.
The new one that I really enjoy is the Rocket Man ad. Have you heard that? A whole bunch of people messing with the lyric, getting the lyrics wrong for Rocket Man?
No.
Yeah, so a whole bunch of people get it wrong, and then somebody in a car gets it right. Now, what's the commercial about? The stereo, the car, the quietness of the ride. The,
also Volkswagen.
And it's also I know it's a Volkswagen commercial, but what's the ad for?
Yeah.
The quietness of the ride, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was really, that one I enjoy just because, that song is my era, I guess, and that's part of it, you know. You put in a Elton John song or an Emerson, Lake and Palmer song, and you know I know that era, so
yeah,
I'm good. There were
lyrics in ELP.
Yeah, rarely. That's why I like them. My problem, of course, has always been that I have very bad hearing. I've always had very bad hearing, and the place where it's worst for me is in the range of the human voice, which is sad because to me the most beautiful sound on earth is the sound of the human voice in close harmony. I love barbershop. And I really love a cappella, but I miss a lot of the nuances because it's just the wrong frequency for me. But when Emerson, Lake, and Palmer were mostly instrumentals,
I still Brain Salad Surgery is my favorite album name ever.
It is an exceptional album name. My favorite album by them is Pictures in an Exhibition. You know, I'm a Mussorgsky fan to begin with. So I really liked Pictures in an Exhibition.
See, well, I think the problem at Seabreeze in the whirly thing in the dark, they always played ELP. And
right.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
Yep.
And I went to that summer after summer after summer.
Right.
You're too old for ELP. That was my era, wasn't it? 70s?
See, I'm an ELP fan, and here's why. And I have to be honest about this. I have to make fun of myself a little bit. Back in the day, I was quite the music snob. Mozart,
ooh,
definitely. Some other people, okay. But, you know, Mussorgsky I liked. I liked Stravinsky. I liked, you know, things like that. And so a friend of mine said, oh, well, you know, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer do Pictures in Exhibition. I said, well, I doubt that. They're rock musicians. How good can they be? And then I listened to it and fell absolutely in love with it. And so yep. I started listening to their other stuff, you know. So I used to be a complete music snob. Now I listen to dang near everything.
You should check out S&M. It's the San
Francisco. I'm sorry,
no,
what?
It was the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra playing at the Berklee Conservatory of Music.
Ooh.
Special guest vocalist James Hetfield.
Of the Hetfields and the McCoys?
Hetfield. Symphony and Metallica.
Yeah, conducted, I was about to say. That's got to be Hetfield then.
Conducted by Michael Kamen.
Nice.
It was interesting. They talked about working with this 200-piece orchestra and the union rules. You know, they were just getting into jamming with Call of Cthulhu, and the orchestra got up and took a break. But at least the harp player had tattoos.
Well, that's important to know. All right.
What kind of person?
We've got just a couple of minutes left. Let's talk to Mark from Greece. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Did you call the right show, gentlemen?
Comment about that commercial with Rocket Man.
Yeah.
That was, if I'm not mistaken, a Fender audio commercial. Fender's doing car audio now.
Oh, maybe it was. You see, the point is you get so interested in the beginning of the commercial that you kind of bliss out on that stuff and you miss the end of it.
Yeah, because I just noticed it because, Dave, I recently become a bass player, and that Fender happened to catch my eye. So, you know, that's how I noticed it.
Right.
I love my era. It was the 80s, and I was a big hard rock, heavy metal fan. And
sure.
I love the commercial for the Honda van, and they're playing Judas Priest.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that was like, oh, people from my era are in charge of advertising now. I love it.
Right. That's the one where the little kid starts it, though.
Oh, that one is the Ozzy Osbourne one.
Oh,
that's
of course.
Another
that's
one they're
yeah,
using.
Yeah.
A hard
that's
rock,
a different,
heavy metal
yeah, right,
song
right, right, right,
too,
right,
but
right, right.
The one I'm thinking about is the flames come up and you see the doors to the van opening and it's playing a Judas Priest song.
Oh,
you
yes,
know?
That one, yes.
Oh,
yes,
it,
yes,
it,
yes,
it just makes me laugh. But yeah, the advertising has gotten real interesting.
Yeah.
So
well, as the people who listened to that music become the people who create those ads, right?
Yeah.
They've grown up to be the ad creators. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, it's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Mark.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Thanks.
I appreciate that. Oh, I
just
love
for
this
you.
Song.
Hey, it's Dominic the Donkey. It's
Christmas Donkey. I love this song.
I did it up just for you today.
I appreciate that. All right, that's it. We are going to take a break as we listen to Dominic the Christmas Donkey. Louis, what's his name? I don't remember his last name. But we're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Christmas Donkeys all. Here on the longest-running computer show in the known universe, we are Soundbites. You will be giving us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And we are Soundbites on the great member-supported Jazz 90.1.
La 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 la
Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Edwin.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Here's an interesting little tidbit. Heads up, iPhone users. If iCloud, Dropbox, Box, Amazon, and any of the other cloud storage services currently available to you just aren't cutting it, there's a new option in town. Microsoft SkyDrive. Long available on Windows desktops, Windows phones, and through the web, SkyDrive offers the most free space out of any of the major cloud storage services, a full 25 gigabytes. Dropbox, by comparison, only offers 2 gigabytes. Box offers 5 gigabytes for free, as does Apple through iCloud and Amazon with Cloud Drive. The release of the first SkyDrive iOS app is part of Microsoft's gradual admission that, well, a lot of people use Apple's products. And compared to the number of people who use Windows phone devices, there's really just no contest. If you can't beat them, join them, right? Microsoft also offers iOS apps for Hotmail, Bing, Messenger, Skype, and OneNote, which is now syncable with SkyDrive. Actually, I love OneNote. I wish that were available for Android. SkyDrive for iPhones gives users all the regular functionality, including accessing and managing files already uploaded to the cloud, the ability to upload photos, documents, and videos, create new folders, as well as share files with others. While SkyDrive is a bit more basic than some of the other options out there, it's by far the best deal. So if you need to boost your cloud storage space, this is a great way to go. Shockingly, there's no Android app. 25 gig for free. Of course, your data is on a Microsoft server. How do you feel about that? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
If you see me slowly drop the floor, because I'm still getting used to this microphone on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
The other night, because I was used to the length over the other end. Now that he moved it, I felt like my big fat Greek wedding. When the girl gets up go off, and then she gets ripped back. That's what happened to me Thursday night.
Oh, that's what he moved, the cord?
Yeah, he moved the cord over here. So I'm so used to all these years having it over on this other side that he moved over this, and it's confusing. I probably could still do it. Wait a minute.
You can still do something. I don't know where you think you're going to plug. That's a mouse. You can't plug anything into that.
Yes, I can.
Well, if there's a thing over there, can you hear yourself?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
I don't want to. Well, I want to hear Jim from Greece. That's who I want to hear. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. And before, happy holidays to everybody.
And the same to you.
Two items. First, to me, the most famous non-commercial that ever was when you were talking about the Volkswagen one was about 30 years ago with the Tab soft drink with the amazing woman coming out of the ocean surf, and nobody would recognize that she was carrying a bottle of Tab because nobody was paying attention to that.
Yep. Yeah, right.
And that was, they finally pulled it because they realized nobody was buying Tab because of it.
But yeah, right.
The reason I really called is...
that was Elle McPherson.
Yeah.
In the commercial, yeah.
Yes, which is why I never drank Tab.
Yeah.
I bought a laptop, and I don't have internet access where my apartment is, so I go usually to the library and sit there and go online. This is in the last 6 weeks, and I've been thinking about, since it's an open Wi-Fi system, what could I do via settings or whatever on the laptop to help make it more secure from somebody snooping over what I am doing, which could include banking or other items that use
excellent
account
question.
Numbers and passwords and stuff like that.
Excellent question. Here's the thing you do. Don't ever run any type of server of any sort on your system. That's a start.
So turn off machines. Yeah, turn off file and printer sharing. Turn off anything like that, the internet sharing, anything that shares data out.
Right.
Okay.
The second thing is make sure that every site you go to where you care about passwords and things like that, starts with HTTPS instead of just HTTP. That S means secure. Most browsers have a lock somewhere on the screen that you can see when you're on a secure site, either in one of the lower corners or up near the address bar where you type in that HTTPS colon slash.
A little padlock icon.
Yeah, padlock icon. As long as you're secure that way, you're pretty safe. Nothing is 100% secure, but it will take people decades, unless they've got a supercomputer, to break the encryption on those things, at which point I think you're not going to care.
Okay. I've been doing the HTTPS, making sure every time where I've gone any place where I've cared that I've had that. I just didn't know if there – and I did make sure my sharing and printer interface, all like that, was turned off to not sharing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if that was sufficient or if there was something else – I should be doing.
You probably should enable a user account password if you don't have one already, so that you need to type a password to get into your account, which means that anyone else would need a password to get into your account.
And make sure that password is different from all your other online passwords.
Okay.
Right. Because if you use the same password for all of them, some unscrupulous person who gets one of them will then have all of them.
Yes. Okay. I will do that. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. And again, happy holidays and have
same
more
to you.
Of these cookies. It makes the program so much more easy.
Yeah.
Thank
for
you.
Us, certainly. Yeah, we recommend that people pay attention to that stuff. It used to be nobody paid attention, and it mostly didn't matter. But now you do need to pay attention to those things. You need to worry about what it is that you're typing in that other people can see. Because if you're on an open Wi-Fi, there are programs people can run to capture every packet that goes over the network, including your username and password.
All right. We did have somebody text us in a question. KC from Rochester wanted to know. All right. I have a PC. My friend has an Apple. I have an external Western Digital 1 terabyte hard drive. I have legal live music recordings in FLAC/SHN formats.
FLAC audio.
Is there a way I can save them onto the hard drive so that he can access them with this Apple? Thanks.
Sure. Just save them onto the hard drive. The Macintosh can read Windows formatted disks, can read and write a FAT32 disk. It can read an NTFS disk. And in later operating systems, it can also write to an NTFS disk. Whatever you put on the drive, the Mac will be able to read it. The question is getting a FLAC player for the Mac. I'm pretty sure VLC will play FLAC.
So am I.
I'm looking here.
The big thing is, if you're going to share your hard drive to your friend, you can do that easily as well. You do not ever want to share the whole hard drive. Ever. And you want to make sure, as we said to an earlier caller, you turn it off.
Yeah, if you're doing network sharing, that's the Mac has SMB Windows file sharing protocols built in as well.
Right.
But if you just unplug the drive from one computer and plug it into the other computer directly, then the Mac can read that also.
Right. So if it's an external drive, maybe it hooks up USB or whatever. It should have no trouble reading it. But if you use the .flac format, the FLAC format, VNC will read it, and I don't know what else.
There's also a program called Mac FLAC. From SourceForge. So the FLAC is a free lossless audio codec.
Right.
Oh, right there. I was trying to remember, and it's on the page.
Right there in front of you.
It's normally when you think of music and music players, the MP3 format is common. MP3 is a lossy format. It throws away a lot of information. Typically, you get about a 90% compression out of an MP3 file because it's throwing away so much information. And the audio purists hate that.
Yes.
And in fact, we've raised generations of kids now that have listened to MP3s, and that sounds right. And so you play an AIF or you play a vinyl album to them.
Or
and
they
it
go
sounds,
see a live concert.
Yeah.
That's not how they sound.
It sounds wrong. So Apple has their Apple lossless format in iTunes so that you can still rip your CDs in a lossless format. And then this free lossless audio codec has been written by the open source community as a way to do lossless audio compression. You only get about a 50% compression with lossless compression, but it's much better quality.
Well, and if you have – this is one of the things that makes me crazy. Most MP3 players, as they're called, do have a couple of formats, but not a lot of them. I like the fact that my my phone, my Android phone – I got a Galaxy Nexus. I'll talk about that later. I love it. I love it. My phone will do OGG, the OGG format, OGG, and I really like that because it's higher compression for the same quality. So you get more files on a disk at the same time. But FLAC is lossless. So what happens is if you save an original in FLAC format, it has all the information for the audio, everything, all the highs, all the lows, all the everything. So what you can then do, the harmonics. So what you can do then is keep that as your archived version, and then using any one of 1,000 programs, save an OGG format or an MP3 format or whatever to move to your music player, so that you will lose some quality, but you'll only lose quality from the copy that you're sending to your music player. You'll still have the lossless version, which takes up a lot of disk space, but you don't care because disk space is still relatively cheap, although it's gone up about 1,000% in the last month.
Yes,
but you still don't care, and compared to the cost of additional storage on a media player.
There's also I just found Fluke for Mac, which is an open source Google Code project, or hosted by Google Code, that will let you play FLAC files directly inside of iTunes.
Nice.
Doesn't completely work in Lion yet. It's only
what does?
It's only 32-bit. One of the big things with Lion is it really enforces 64-bit programming, and so some 32-bit programs don't work anymore.
Right.
In fact, that's what I found was the problem with my the Ustream video feed. I have a program called CamTwist that overlays the time and date on the video.
Yep.
And I couldn't get it running, and then I found out that it's only 32-bit, and that's why it wasn't working in my 64-bit Flash with 64-bit Safari.
Right. Okay, I think we've beaten that question.
Well, yeah. The next problem I've had customers ask this for. You can play FLAC on your Mac, but I haven't found a way to play FLAC on the iPod yet.
It's giving you a lot.
Right, and that's why you keep that version available so you have everything, and then you recompile. You convert. You make a copy, convert it to MP3 or whatever to run on the iPod, so you get more music on the iPod, but it's not going to be. It's not going to be high quality. MP3 is simply not a high quality format, which I have to admit kind of surprises me that Steve Jobs, who's so famous for religiously having to have the best of everything, picked MP3 as the format.
That was the common format at the time. Apple has since, well, probably 10 years ago, switched to AAC, the Advanced Audio Codec, which was co-developed with Dolby Labs. It's much better quality than MP3. It's still a lossy compression, and it still throws away information, but it's better than MP3.
Well, but it's still lossy, and I'm surprised Steve Jobs settled for that, the perfectionist that he was.
Yeah, that's a CD, 700 meg CD, can only hold an hour of audio in uncompressed format, or you can put 10 or 20 hours in compressed format.
Well, I understand that part, but I'm just still surprised.
So you're saying, though, he's getting a lot of flack over it? Let's go to the caller.
Please, our next caller is Tom from Bergen. Please, Tom, save us from Dave, please.
And I haven't had any of the rum balls yet.
Yeah. Dave's holiday cookies. Get it right. Yes, sir, Tom.
Yeah, I got a head scratcher for you.
Oh, good.
I have an ATI All-in-Wonder Pro video capture card. Works nice with 95 and 98. I'd like to put it in XP, but I haven't been able to find a driver. Is there such a thing?
Have you gone to the website?
Yeah.
ATI's website. If ATI doesn't make one, there probably isn't one.
Yeah.
Nobody else is going to make one if they don't.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Is this a brand new card or is it an old card?
It's an old card.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
What may have happened is they may have used to make the driver but don't have it online anymore. You might be able to find, I know there's an old software
Yes.
For programs, is there an old drivers website?
Oh yeah, old driver.
Yeah. Olddrivers.com. Let's try that.
Try it. But yeah, there is a spot out there that you can find old versions, like you say, of software and drivers. I used to have an old LaserJet, an original LaserJet printer.
Driverguide.com.
Mm-hmm. Driver, yeah.
Yeah, well, the reason I want to use it is I got a color thumb camera I put in the top of a bluebird nest.
Mm.
Oh, neat.
Make
nice.
Some tapes or video.
Yeah.
And
oh, cool.
Building the nest, and then when they hatch, I see them getting fed. And
oh. I've got about 8 blue jays in my backyard. They get me up in the morning because I've gotten in the habit of, you know, throwing out peanuts.
Yeah, and we do that too.
It's fun to watch them. They'll literally, I throw out handfuls of peanuts, and you'll see them hopping from one peanut to the other to see which one's bigger.
Yeah.
And then they'll grab it, and then boom, fly away. But yeah, I've got about 8 of them. Yeah. I feed them throughout the whole year. I always have a bag of peanuts by the window, and they're cool. I like the birds. They let you know they're in the neighborhood, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. We put peanuts on the flat feeder outside the window, and they'll come down. They'll pick one up and drop it, pick another one up and drop it, pick another one up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get the right one.
Yeah, they got to get the right one. Yeah. It's really wild.
I got another question.
Mm-hmm.
The video I made with this capture card on 98, they won't play on XP Media Player.
What codec are you using when you create the video?
I have no idea.
There's a setting in whatever your capture program is for codecs, and that's like the MP3 and AAC we were just talking about,
mm-hmm.
Which are audio codecs, a compressor, decompressor. There are video codecs as well, and you may mm-hmm. need to switch to a different video codec so that it plays in other players.
Okay. That'll do it.
All right, there you go. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we have another answer from Tom from Bergen before we move on. Tom, if you're still listening, and of course, why wouldn't you be?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of your ATI All-in Wonder Pro card, ATI was bought by AMD, and Steve has a link up on our links page. You go to soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And look at the links tab. You'll see a choice of links heard on today's show. Go to that, and you'll see the ATI or the AMD support drivers link list. And what you do is you go to that page and you put in the thing you're looking for, which would be TV Tuner, the series, which is the All-in-Wonder series, then whatever your card is. And I know it's an All-in-Wonder Pro, but is it an X600, a 9600, or whatever, whatever? So you need to put that in. And from there, you pick your operating system, and XP seems to be one of the included operating systems for all the ones I looked at. So the chances are pretty good that you would be able to find a driver for your XP machine. You just have to get the right one from the manufacturer, and the manufacturer is now AMD. So that may be you were looking in the wrong place. So that should do it. And like I said, just follow Steve's link, and you should be good to go. All right, our next caller is Joan from Rush, New York. Welcome, Joan. What's your question?
My question is regarding bringing up Mozilla Firefox, which is my browser.
Yeah.
And I don't have, I switched from the desktop to a laptop and had everything reloaded. Now when I bring up, what do you call it? Mozilla Firefox?
Yeah.
The taskbar at the top does not appear. All I get is the Firefox symbol and Google.
In other words, all your tabs and all that didn't come over with it.
Right. I no longer have my bookmark.
Is it empty, or is it doesn't show the bar at all?
It doesn't show the bar. You need to bring the arrow up to the very top.
Yeah, there's a preference to always show or always hide that toolbar.
Under the view.
Yeah, and there's a view menu and a toolbar's command, and you can tell it to always show your navigation bar or always show your bookmarks bar.
Okay, where is the view bar?
The view menu in the menu bar at the top of the window.
Right, because you have file and edit and all those others. One of those choices is view.
Nope, there's nothing like that. It says Mozilla Firefox start page.
Above
what operating system are you running?
Windows 7.
Yeah, you just
got... above that, there should be a file edit view menu bar.
Sorry.
With all your menus.
It's probably not. Windows 7, you can turn all that stuff off.
You can turn the menu bar off. Full screen mode? Yeah, full screen mode. On the Mac, it's Command-Shift-F.
I think it's F11.
On Windows. So it turns off all of your bars so that the entire web page is showing on your screen so you don't see any of the extra stuff.
Exactly. So what do I do with that?
Try hitting F11. Click in some area on the browser and hit F11 along the top.
Okay.
Try that. But otherwise, you might also want to try right-clicking on that, and sometimes it'll give you options.
We're trying to find it. None of us are running. You don't have Firefox on your Linux box?
Okay, hide toolbars, exit full screen.
There it is.
Mode.
Exit full screen is what you want.
Exit full screen mode?
Yes.
Okay. And the hide toolbars is checked.
Yeah, uncheck that one too.
Uncheck. Whoops. I just lost the whole thing now. Okay. That's unchecked. Now check exit full screen mode.
Right.
Oh.
And there it is.
That looks better. Now I've got it back. Now I'm familiar. I hope I like it. If I don't, I can do the same thing and undo it.
Right. Exactly. Basically what they've done is some people, especially if you're reading like a news page or a video page, you don't want to be distracted by the menus and the buttons. So this
You're not kidding. Yeah. I've had that happen too.
Yep. The full screen mode lets you see just that page, so there's no menus, no buttons, no nothing.
Good. Okay. I think now that I can change and make a choice, whether I want that or not, I won't think that Google has taken over my computer.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's your default homepage.
Yep.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome,
again,
Joan.
For services.
Our pleasure, Joan.
Thank you, Joan.
You're welcome. Bye.
Yeah, like I say, I know this lady from down in Rush. She used to work down in the library down there.
Mozilla's being too smart for my own good. I was looking up the keyboard shortcut for Windows. It knows I'm on a Mac, and so it won't let me off of the Mac help page. I want the Windows version of this.
right. Page. Sometimes, you know what? I don't need the help you're giving me. Stop helping me.
The help I asked for, not the help you give me.
Exactly. All right. A proposed nationwide open access 4G wireless broadband network, all of which sounds great, has hit another snag. Testing carried out by a federal agency at the behest of the Department of Defense, Federal Aviation Administration, and a handful of GPS makers shows that the proposed broadband service messed with the performance of 75% of GPS receivers tested. Oops. According to a draft of the report, light squared signals caused harmful interference to the majority of GPS receivers tested. No additional testing is required to confirm harmful interference exists. LightSquared had planned to build a $14 billion nationwide network that it would then resell to wholesale providers. The company says it has no interest in retail. It owns a chunk of spectrum that it plans to devote to the network, but that spectrum in the area between 1525 megahertz and 1660.5 megahertz is uncomfortably close to that used by many GPS devices. LightSquared announced plans for its network in July 2010, saying that it would offer the first truly open and net-neutral wireless network. Given the state of broadband penetration and competition in the U.S., many greeted the company's plans with enthusiasm. Not so the Department of Defense and Department of Transportation. Last April, the two government agencies wrote a letter to the Federal Communications Commission asking the agency to look into the possibility of GPS interference. The GPS industry was also alarmed at the possibility of a nationwide network with over 40,000 towers wreaking havoc with its devices. The industry warned of tens of thousands of dead spots, miles in diameter, where drivers wouldn't be able to get their GPS position or directions. For its part, LightSquared accused the GPS industry of designing products that depended on using spectrum assigned to other FCC licensees, but did not directly address the question of interference. The leaked data appears to strengthen the hand of the GPS makers and others who are critical of the proposed 4G network. Testing, which was carried out between October 31st and November 4th, showed that 69 of 92 GPS receivers experienced harmful interference when within 100 meters of a LightSquared base station. In a statement emailed to Bloomberg, LightSquared Executive VP Martin Harriman said that it was outraged by the release of the data. This breach attempts to draw an inaccurate conclusion to negatively influence the future of LightSquared and narrowly serve the business interests of the GPS community, he told Bloomberg. At the same time, Harriman said that if his company's network is indeed interfering with GPS devices, we'd like to be sure that doesn't happen. So, how would you like to have a low-cost, full-coverage Wi-Fi? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415.
We see this in radio broadcasts, too. The GPS is broadcast.
Check ponies.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
GPS is broadcasting a radio. Wi-Fi is broadcasting radio. So you have two radios on this, or two transmitters on the same frequency. The one you're closest to is gonna get you. So that Wi-Fi signal you're gonna get because you know it's a few hundred meters, and the GPS signal is coming from 20,000 miles away. So of course it's gonna be closer, and you're gonna receive that one better. So why did they pick the same frequency that GPS uses?
Well, what they're saying is they own that frequency, and GPS just happens to be using it.
Yeah.
Or something too close. And what they're essentially saying is the GPS is not using
1575.42 megahertz.
Yeah, and apparently what they're saying is that GPS is not using a frequency that's already been okayed by the FCC. I don't understand how that can be. Or they're using one that's too close.
It's, you know, in the junk band where you don't need a specific license for that frequency?
I don't know. Maybe. I just know that I downloaded a great little app called GPS Test to my Galaxy Nexus. And generally speaking, I can see between 6 and 9 satellites, depending on the time of day and exactly, you know, how open a field I'm in, whatever. And I can get down to like 9 feet in resolution. It's pretty amazing. The technology, you know, I don't remember how we ever got around back in the day.
You stopped and asked for directions.
Well, exactly. I guess we did.
And it was turned right by the old Miller house that burned down 10 years ago.
Yeah, right. I once got a direction that said, turn right at the greenhouse. I was ready for a house that was green. I was ready for an actual greenhouse with plants in it. Yep. I was not ready for a house that had been owned 20 years ago by a family named Green. I was simply unprepared for that eventuality. And I was lost in the middle of nowhere.
I had a uncle in Pennsylvania, and for years, it was the giant, you know, big yellow house in series. And then for like 10 years, they had painted it a different color, and everyone still referred to it as the big yellow house. So yep. He eventually had to repaint it yellow.
Yep. Well, when I lived at we did summer stock in Spencertown, New York, and we were housed with some of the families, and I was told, well, you're gonna be with this family, and they live on Star Hill. So you just go right out in this road. It's Star Hill. You can't miss it. I drove up and down Star Hill 20 miles each way for about an hour before I suddenly realized that at one point there was this tiny, gentle rise of maybe 2 feet.
Yep, that was the hill.
And there was a house there. And I pulled in the driveway and said, is this such a... And then I recognized the girl that came out. She'd been our intern the year before. Okay, this is the place. This must be Star Hill.
Yep.
You know, you could sit on a sled on that thing forever and never go downhill ever because there isn't enough downhill to go, but that was Star Hill.
Yep.
Well, isn't there a place, I've seen it, you know, where it gives the optical illusion that you can be standing there and literally...
Will you quiet your phone?
It was about my sister, so...
Oh, all right then.
Just let me know what's going on. But it has the optical illusion like you're going... uphill, and yeah. You can move right, you know, you're actually like on a skateboard net and really rolling fast.
Yeah.
And you know, like kind of blows your mind.
Yeah.
Well, just like some of those houses.
I think that's my uncle's house. We I used to spend a lot of summers with this uncle. My, you know, my mom was one of 9 kids, and her mom was one of 18 kids. You know, old Pennsylvania farmer.
Have you people not heard of ZPG?
No, you needed a lot of kids to work the farm.
Back in those days.
Yeah. Hey, that's
we actually lived in Pennsylvania, but we had to cross the river into New York to go to the general store.
Yeah.
Every morning, he had 6 kids, my uncle, so you know, having me there was no big deal. So every morning we go to the store, we buy 2 dozen eggs, 2 loaves of breads, and a pack of cigarettes, because that was the 70s.
Sure, exactly.
Quarter.
And the corner store let us kids do that, because, you know, it's for Rodney, we know.
We know Rodney, and we know these kids will bring the cigarettes to Rodney, because otherwise Rodney's going to complain.
Yep.
Or you could take a note from your parents. Please give Jimmy so-and-so.
Yep.
I never even needed a note. My mother would send me to the corner store all the time for whatever, you know, bring home a 6-pack, bring home cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
The lady at the corner store knew me, first name, blah, blah. One day, I actually walked out with a comic book. I was so enthralled, I started reading it while I stood in line, and then apparently I just left and went home. I got 3/4 of the way home and realized I had not paid my – I ran all the way back, gave her my dime, and she said, I knew you were good for it. I saw you start reading it and get involved, and you just left, and I knew you'd be back.
Yeah. This has been a bad year for my mom. My Uncle Rodney passed away a year or so ago, and mom lost her husband and 2 brothers this year.
I'm so sorry.
It's we always say that's what happens when you get old. You know, most of my mom's family are in their 80s, and
I see most of my family at funerals now.
Yep.
You know, that's just the way that works.
And young kids too. It's another carload of teenagers from one of the local schools died a couple weeks ago. It was
well, and that goes
terrible,
right to our first story, doesn't it?
No, I just had a friend. Lost her battle.
Just 6 kids in a car were distracting.
Yeah, well, and yes. Well, how did we live through our childhood? I mean, I remember
your dad would turn around and smack you.
When we were our teen years when we were driving, I actually owned a car where eventually the front seat leaned back at a 45-degree angle. It was like you were preparing for blastoff. Because the kids in the back seat, the guys, the adults, the 18-year-old guys in the back seat, would haul, because nobody wore seatbelts in those days, would haul themselves up and lean over the thing so that we would all be able to talk to each other. And we would drive around like that for hours, shouting back and forth and laughing and horsing around and everything. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco. George is on the line from Greece. We'll be getting to him as well. And, of course, all of you. And we are Soundbites, and we are right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I'm Steve.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have George from Greece on the line. Welcome, George. What's up?
Good afternoon, fellas. I was talking with you last week at the end of the show about a problem I have from time to time with Radio Shark.
Yes.
And you were taking a direction that was a little bit of a surprise to me. You were questioning whether I had the most recent version of the program or not.
Right.
I don't have any way of knowing what the most recent version is. They don't seem to label versions on their software. But what I was more curious about, I thought you might take a direction of power conditioning or things that are getting into the system that disrupts the way the program performs.
Well, and that's certainly a possibility. It depends. Well,
can I add one other thing about
this
that may help you narrow down the possibilities? This is in a desktop that doesn't get used for any other purpose other than to record from the Radio Shark, and it has a fairly large disk drive that from time to time, like a couple of times a year, I store some archival material there. But it's not connected online. It's almost entirely isolated in terms of the software functions.
Well, do you have a problem with brownouts in your home?
Not that's noticeable to me, no. Okay. I would say basically no. I don't have any
And you don't indication. Have that problem with any other computers?
No, I don't. Although I don't have anything else that's running. I mean, the computer sits there 24 hours a day.
Right.
With the Radio Shack program to come on, at certain hours, essentially each day of the week, there's some recording that's done.
And remind me again what the exact problem is. It doesn't record anything, or it drops out in the middle, or what's the deal?
It tends to not record at the beginning of a time slot. In other words, I'm not experiencing a problem during the recording, but most often it doesn't start to record at the designated time.
And you know that the time is right on the computer.
I know the time is right. Yeah.
And how is it consistently? For example, 20 seconds late, 2 minutes late, 4 seconds late.
No, it'll miss the whole program.
It just doesn't start at all.
That's right. It doesn't start at all.
Mostly it does, and sometimes it doesn't.
No, I would say that I don't know of an instance where it has dropped out during the recording. The hang-up seems to be getting started.
Right.
And like sometimes I record things, well, for example, with sound bites, I record you fellows, and I skip the first couple of minutes, so I record it as two events rather than one. And it may well record the first event and not the second. Most of the time, it records both events without a problem.
So, all right. So most of the time, everything works perfectly. Every once in a while, there's a hiccup.
That's correct. And I have to reload the program in order to overcome the hiccup. In other words, once it starts to fail, it fails for everything after that until I happen to detect the problem. And then I exit the program and start it over.
All right, let me. When was the last time you ran any sort of antivirus on this machine?
Oh, I haven't run an antivirus in a long time, mostly because it's not connected to anything to take antivirus.
Yes, but you're taking files that have been on another machine.
No.
Well, you just said you use it for archive.
Oh, yeah, but that's a couple times a year. In fact, I probably haven't done it. I don't know that I've done it at all in the last several months.
And this is what version of Windows?
Well, the Windows would be HP or XP Home.
XP Home.
And let me say also, this may go on, I would say out of a 2 or 3 week period, it'd be very rare that I wouldn't have at least one failure. And then I might get a failure within the next couple of days. In fact, I had one this morning when I was recording another show.
Once it's failed, you have to uninstall and reinstall the program?
That would be right. Now, when I say I'm not reinstalling from the disk, I'm canceling out the program, and I'm not sure what the right words are to describe here, what you're asking.
You don't actually uninstall the program and reinstall it.
You just quit and relaunch?
That launch is the word we're after. Yes,
okay. How much RAM is in this machine?
Oh, probably a meg and a half. I'm sorry, a gig and a half.
All right. So this actually sounds pretty common. With Windows, you've got to reboot every couple of days anyway. there's an issue called memory leak that, while you're running programs, memory is being used up, and eventually memory doesn't get released properly or completely, and eventually memory's full, and oftentimes the computer crashes and you restart, or you start getting error messages and restart. So quitting and relaunching the program is a typical solution for those type of problems.
Okay, that's a good lead.
And what else is running on this machine?
Nothing else.
Okay, so
just the operating system and Radio Shark.
It wouldn't hurt to try downloading the last version of Radio Shark, which on Griffin's website it says it's version 2.1 for Windows. So at least on their website they aren't numbering the program. As it's a discontinued, unsupported product, so it's hard finding any more information on it, though.
Mm-hmm. But it does. They do indicate then a version 2.1.
Right.
That's surprising because I would have thought they would have like a version 1 or something on the original disk.
Probably.
But well, they don't show, there's nothing that I can seem to detect there. In fact, I was going
In the program, usually you go to the help menu and choose about, which is usually the last command in the help menu, and it tells you what version of that program you're running.
I see. But if I just click on the program and look under the program files properties.
Sometimes there's a version tab in that properties.
Right. In this case, there's not, but you're saying that sometimes there is.
Right. Okay. But it's always in the program itself. We'll tell you what version it is.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right. And in addition, there is a driver's guide you can download from Griffin Technology, who's the company that makes it. Steve's going to put it online, but it's griffintechnology.com/support.
Yes.
/downloads/R. And there's a PDF and the actual program download. The Mac version is 2.0.1 and the Windows version is 2.1. And both of those, the Mac and the Windows version, also have version 2 user guides in PDF format. And that may give you some clues, particularly if it is, in fact, an actual upgradable product, that may give you some clues as to what you need to do, not necessarily differently, but, you know, that you may have missed the first time.
Yeah. And the other thing to consider is that a lot of broadcast radio shows have podcasts, pre-recorded files that you download directly from the internet. And you can often subscribe to that podcast, like we have with Soundbites, in iTunes or in Winamp or other media player.
And many of them are free.
And most of them are free. I think Rush Limbaugh is one of the few that charges.
Well, that's true.
And as soon as a new show is posted, usually within a day or so, I try to get ours up on that same Saturday, that file automatically downloads to your computer. It would mean hooking your computer to the internet to do it, but most radio shows now have internet broadcast too.
You're right about the internet broadcast. I'm not aware of the podcast feature on some of the shows that I listen to. In fact, let me be specific, if it's not a problem.
I
quite often record the Bob Lonsberry show.
Sure. I don't think Bob has a podcast.
You say you do?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think he does either. Now, it does stream, I think.
You could use a program like Total Recorder to record the internet stream.
And to that extent, I appreciate some information you gave here a few weeks ago. That's the direction I want to go to. I think that's probably going to be better. But for the moment, I haven't had the time to do that, and I need to get this into a form to load it into an MP3 player.
I found radio station KNRS in Salt Lake has a podcast of Bob Lonsberry. So the local
it's a
station.
Different show. He does two shows.
Oh, yeah?
He does the KNRS show from, I think, the 9 to 11 or whatever it is, our time, which is about 6 to 8 their time, and then he does our show. But here's the deal. When you use a program like Total Recorder, if they have an Ethernet stream, right, a network stream, an internet stream, then you can record from Total Recorder in any format you want, including directly to MP3.
Yeah, I understand. It's mostly just getting some time to get in and get that all understood and get it working.
Right.
The other system works, except there's just this reliability factor. And unfortunately, you never know that it's failed until some appreciable time has gone by.
Right.
And then you have to try to recover.
Right. Well, in that particular case, definitely try the latest version. And again, you can also download the user guide, which is a PDF file that you can play with however you like. And then beyond that, all I can tell you is download Total Recorder and give it a try and see what happens.
Your podcast is still available on another radio station.
Excellent.
But it does look like the local station carrying Bob's Lonsberry does have
I was on the air. Doing something.
Oh, yeah. August 11th.
So I'm not quite sure what that was anymore. But, yeah, the point is that try the latest version and then also play around with Total Recorder, because it may simply be easier for you knowing that, you know, you would have to connect this machine to the Internet, of course. But once you have it connected to the Internet, then all you have to do is let Total Recorder do the work. Dave's been using Total Recorder forever. I used to use it all the time.
Oh, I love it.
I used to use it all the time before I switched to Linux. And I never had a hiccup. I never had a problem. I ran it on XP for years.
I'm looking forward to that. You fellows have all been very favorable toward it.
Yeah, I really think
it's going to do the job. It's just a question of getting it set up and getting it working.
There you go.
Okay. I appreciate your time.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, George. And good luck with that one way or the other. Of course, you can always download our podcasts, which is certainly not going to be a problem. And here's Lou Monte again to sing us out.
It's Dominic the Donkey, jingity jing.
The Italian Christmas donkey.
Just for you.
La 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 la. All right. That music tells us that we are at the end of another show. We will not be here live next week, although there will be a lovely pre-recorded, hand-selected version of Soundbites. But we will be back New Year's Eve with a whole new show. So enjoy your week off. For those of you, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and non-denominational Midwinter Festival. And we will see you in just a couple of weeks on the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.